Greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. Thankful to be here. Welcome each one to the service. Trust we have come praying, come seeking the Lord's face. As we think of communion, sharing our testimonies, you know, it can be a time of searching our hearts. It can be a time of, maybe for some of us, a time of confusion. Time of not really understanding. But my prayer is for each one of us here this morning, as that this message wouldn't put anyone on an unnecessary guilt trip, that this message would not bring any confusion to any one of us. As the brother has already encouraged us this morning, that each one can share their hearts honestly before God. You know, if we can do that, share our hearts honestly before God, we don't have to be scared. We don't have to be confused. We're telling it to God Almighty, the one who is able to take care of all of our problems. So, God bless you this morning. For a message, text verse, I'd like to open up in Romans 12, verse 1. I've titled the message this morning, Examining Our Hearts in the Light of God. Romans 12, verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know, when we think about that, present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is above our service, which is our reasonable service. You know, God isn't asking more of us than we can give. He isn't asking more of us than what we're able, you know, able to do. And when we do it all, when we give it all, pour it all out before God, we haven't gained ourselves any special place. We've only done our reasonable service. So as we go through this message, let's remember that God is looking, asking, pleading, beseeching each one of us to make that living sacrifice. I want to turn to Psalm 139. This is a beautiful psalm, and in the previous messages I have touched on this psalm. This is a psalm of David. This is David's confession when he had sinned. He sinned with Bathsheba. Here's the confession he made to God. I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. 51 is the confession. 39. Let's go to 139, 23, and 24. This here is the pleading for God to search our hearts. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Now let's turn back to Psalm 51. And this is David's confession that he made to God. Psalm 51, I'll read this whole psalm. It says, Have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts and in the hidden part. Thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. Thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifice of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. You know, as we look here at this confession that David made to God, I was just blessed as I looked over this psalm and how many areas he invited God into his life. You know, we see, so we go down through there. It starts off, have mercy upon me, wash me, purge me, make me to hear, create in me a clean heart, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and deliver me. You know, David wanted a complete infilling of God, the Spirit of God. He wanted complete infilling. He didn't want anything to be left empty, because he saw how prone he was. And you know, that's you and I today. How prone we are to fall away. How prone we are to allow sin a little foothold in our life. And I don't know that any sins that you brothers and sisters are committing. I have no idea. So I'm going to speak freely today. But don't think that I'm sitting here trying to point fingers at any one of you, because I have no idea. To my knowledge, none of you have committed any sins. But I do know that you're humans, so I know you have. You're still living in this world. You're still living among sinners. And as long as you're living here, you're going to commit some sins. The point is that we do as David done. When he saw the sin that he committed, he cried out to God. And that's what I want to encourage each one of you this morning. I'm sure you've searched your hearts. You've looked into your hearts. Past weeks, you've been searching your heart. We see our shortcomings. Anytime I do, I have many of them. Search our hearts. We see how needy we are. We see how much we need God. We see how much God has done for us and how little we've done for God. You know, think about how much has God done for you. You know, you've probably been thinking about that as well. How much has He done for me? You know, if we want to go and start thinking about how much God has done for us. And let's do it. Let's think about how much He has done for us. We've got a full-time job. God has done so much. He has given us so much. He has protected us so many times. You know, there's so many times that we're out in life and we face things. You know, you face a situation, a very tempting situation. What has He promised? He promised that He'll always give us a way of an escape. If we keep our eyes open, we'll see that. Think back through your life, temptations you've been faced with, and then all of a sudden there was a way out, and you took it. It just wasn't coincidence that that way of escape was there. With every temptation, there is a way of an escape. You know, I think we as God's people, if we would quit having so many coincidences in life, we would find new meaning to our Christian life. I think, at least I'm speaking to myself mostly. I do not know y'all brothers and sisters well enough to know where y'all are at on this. But to me, myself, I have too many coincidences in life. Just things just happen, you know. You go through life and, well, it just happened. I don't know why it happened, but it just happened. And I don't think about it that it's God. He's working in my life. You know, if we can think about that. And I love the thought that Brother Joe gave this morning. Let's be thankful for what God has done for us. You know, I understand. You know, we have communion there in Commerce too. And you search in your heart for sins. You're looking at your heart because you know that you made mistakes. You don't want to eat or drink unworthily. But let's not forget to praise God that He has made it a way of an escape. Let's not forget to praise God for the times that He gave us strength. And we accepted that. Because you know, when we can come to that place, you can come to the communion altar with a clean and pure heart, thankful for what God has done for you. You know, brothers and sisters, that bread is more than bread. And that juice is more than juice. We see it as what God, through His Son, Jesus Christ, has done for you and I. We see what He's done. He paid a great price for you and I. And you know, I think when David sinned here with Bathsheba, and Nathan come to him, I want to think that that's what David's seen. He didn't just see the sin that he committed. He saw what God had done for him, and yet he still fell into this sin. You can see the remorse through this. I mean, this whole psalm is just full of begging and pleading God. He saw who God was. He saw all the many things God had given him up until now, and yet I really fell in this way. You know, you and I are still in that same battle. That battle is over for David. But you and I are in that battle now. You know what I want to think? There is nothing that'll keep us on the right path better than remembering what God has done for us. Just think about it as you go through the day. Think about it as you're about your work. Don't wait for communion to examine your heart. Examine your heart daily. Daily. Because then when you come to communion, you don't have a whole stack of things to take care of. They're all taken, you take care of them daily. You live a free life daily. That is what is beautiful. And my prayer is that's what you brothers and sisters are doing. That we have that examination daily. Open our hearts for God to examine our lives. In the morning, open it up. Open your heart to God throughout the day. Then, communion time won't be a dread for anyone. I remember those times. My younger years, just too hard, I thought, just too hard to stay straight. You know, the pleasures of the flesh, the pleasures of life, they just pulled a little hard. You know, the church standards, agreements, and all that, we all just understood they were a little too tight. We all understood that, they should be different. Then all of a sudden, communion rolled around. And, I ain't been living right. I've not been doing right. I've not been living up to the promises that I've made. You know, and you quick try to get everything straight. You quick try to confess it all out to God, and get it all cleared up and cleaned up and everything washed up and where you can partake of communion. But yet you almost feel unworthy when you partake of communion. You know, I hope none of you have felt that. I hope every one of you have just always kept your life pure and clean and haven't had that feeling. But if you're here this morning and have that feeling, it's not too late to change it. It's not too late to take care of it. You know, that's where David was. That's where he was at. He had kind of slowly got into this. Allowed sin a little foothold. And it kept come more and more and more, till finally he stooped low enough to have a man killed so he could steal his wife. That didn't happen just like that. It come to him slowly. And where did it start? Where did it all start? Think about that. Where did it all start? It all started in the mind of David. That's where it all started at. That's where sin always starts, is in the mind. It was in his mind. Then it became action. When it became action, it had already been a part of his life for so long that he didn't see the sin of it as he should. That's why it is so important, brothers and sisters, that we guard our minds, we guard our thoughts. Our thoughts will soon become the actions. Actions have consequences. We see the consequences. We're not going to take the time, but David paid a dear price. He paid a very dear price for this sin. You know, for us this morning, let's allow the spotlight of God to shine in our hearts. Let's allow it to have full control of our hearts. Allow that beam free passage throughout your heart. Because great sins start with little hidden thoughts. You think about where we're at today in this world. Is there a reason that it's taken years to get to where we're at? What if it worked hundreds of years ago? For it just to have changed and we'd be living like today. No. Everybody would have run backwards. Everybody. They would have run back. They wouldn't have touched nothing. Nothing of what we have today. They would have been afraid of it. But slowly, slowly, and slowly, One little thought at a time. One little action at a time. You know, the point I'm wanting to bring across, brothers and sisters, the devil don't care how long it takes him, as long as he wins the battle. He don't care if it takes him thousands of years to get it. He'll stick with you one little thought at a time. He'll stick with you one little action at a time as long as you give him that. And the reason I'm saying that is I don't know how you brothers and sisters face it, but I know how I face it. Those little things aren't really important. You know, oh, well, it was just a little thought. You know, it really was nothing. You know, those little thoughts are little footholds the devil can get in. They're little places he can get a grip in your life. So those little thoughts are important. Those little actions are important. You know, it went from David's thoughts, from his thoughts to his eyes. He allowed his thoughts to stray. What is the closest connection to our thoughts? Those of us, and I think all of us here can see this morning, but those of us who can see, our eyes are one of the closest things to our thoughts. What happens when you walk in somewhere, you hear something, there's a noise, you smell something, or you think about something, what happens? You soon start looking for it. This can be good or bad. It's a very good thing when we use it right, but it can be to our downfall when we use it wrong. And that's what happened with David. He allowed his thoughts to stray. He put himself up there. I don't know if he intentionally put himself up there on the rooftop. I think that was a place that was pretty common for him to relax and set up on the rooftop. But he was in a dangerous place when he had a stray thought. His eyes wandered. You know, it wasn't coincidence at all. That was not coincidence. What so often, at least for myself, what I forget is who Satan used to be. Who did Satan used to be? Satan used to be one of the chief angels in heaven. You know, it's hard to believe that. It's just hard to get your mind wrapped around that one. Go from the best to the worst. But that is what it was. Satan used to be one of the top angels in heaven. It's very beautiful. So think about that. Do you think he knows how you're created? Do you think he knows how to tempt you? Yes, I believe he does. I believe he does. Satan, the liar, the soul-thieving, deceiving liar that he is today, was once right there with God Almighty. He knows to an extent. I don't know how it is fully, but he knows to an extent how God operates. How God directs into your heart and my heart. So when we think about that, that should cause us to tremble. We've got somebody out there Satan that knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows how to get into our hearts, into our lives in ways that we don't even understand. And through these examples that are given in the Bible, it just comes out so clear. You know, David, a righteous man, a man after God's own heart. That's what it says. It says David was a man after God's own heart. But who got him? You know, for a brief time there, Satan got into his life and touched him. But the beautiful point is, don't be discouraged and don't allow Satan to drag you down, because David, a man after God's own heart, was dragged down by the devil. But he repented and was raised back to his feet and continued on, a man after God's own heart. You know, that is beautiful. That is beautiful. Yes, we do make mistakes. We do commit sins at times. But the point is when we do it, let's repent. Let's get back up. Get back up. Just because you make a failure, just because you make a mistake, don't mean God just wrote you off. It doesn't mean that your name just got erased forever. Because you have Jesus Christ on the right hand of the Father now. You know, Satan used to be there. He sinned. He got thrown out of heaven. God saw that we were going to need some help. Satan is cast down here. We need help. And in His great love, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to live here just like you and I, walk around on this sin-cursed earth. And He lived a life of purity and holiness. He was tempted in every manner as you and I are tempted. You know, last Sunday we had baptism on our church there. I had the privilege to preach that message. Studying that, it's a blessing. Christ went through what you and I go through. But you know, He set us a beautiful example. Before He was called away of the Spirit, out into the wilderness for those 40 days to be tempted of the devil, what did He do? He went and was baptized. Christ didn't need to be baptized. He was perfect. But you know what He done that for? He done that for you and I. He done that to show you and I how to live in victory. He done it to show you and I how we can get through trials and temptations. In my own words, He's saying, get yourself washed in my blood before you go out and face these temptations. Wash yourself, cleanse yourself, prepare yourself. You're going to be tempted just as I am. But prepare yourself. You know, and that's a daily thing for each one of us here this morning. We need to prepare ourselves daily. We need to receive the cleansing power of Jesus Christ daily. And then when we go out and we're faced with those temptations, we can do as He did. We can live a victorious life. Now, am I saying that Jesus would have failed and He would have sinned if He wasn't baptized? No, understand me. He done that for you and I. Jesus was perfect and He was holy. And I don't feel that He needed baptism and the fact that He needed baptism to cleanse His sins. He had no sins. But He knew that you and I would, and that we would need that. So before He went and faced the temptations of the devil, He got the power. You know, that's a challenge for each one of us. Let's get the power. It's available for each one of us. It is available. Let's get that power. You know, if we look here at the end of Psalm 51, it says, "Then shalt thou be pleased," in verse 19, "Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering, whole burnt offering, then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar." You know, in those times, they were still doing that, offering, burnt offerings. But if we look in Hebrews chapter 9, let's turn to that. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 13 and 14. "For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" You know how true that is. If those sacrifices of old, those animals, the blood that was shed there, if that would cover their sins, how much more the blood of Jesus Christ? How much more? And when we think about that, you know, Jesus is on the right hand of the Father. He's interceding for you and I. We have someone there to help us. We have someone that's right there on the right hand of the Father to interpret our murmuring, our weeping. You know, we try to pray to God. We try to repent. We try. But we don't know how. Christ is interpreting. He's interpreting that to God. He understands. He lived here. He went through those. He understands what we're trying to say. He understands what we're feeling. He understands everything that we're going through. And I picture Christ doing the same as Moses done for the children of Israel. Because God is perfect. He knows no sin at all. Sin brings the wrath of God. What did God want to do to the children of Israel when they kept sinning? Just get rid of that sin. Get them out. "Moses, you just step back out of the way and I'm going to wipe these people out and I'm going to start over with you." Moses spoke to God very reverently. But he pleaded with God. He interceded for the children of Israel. You know, that is what Jesus Christ is doing for you and I today. If it wouldn't be for Jesus Christ, we wouldn't have this hope. We wouldn't have this joy. And above all, we wouldn't have this privilege. Because it would be a meaningless service this morning for you to stand up, share your praises, share your confessions and all that. There would be no need for that. But because of Jesus Christ and what He has done, we can stand up, share our hearts, and have the hope that He has heard us. We know. We know He has heard us. We can have that hope. You know, and that should give us joy. That should give us courage. As we face life from here, as we go forward, each new day, that should give us renewed hope, renewed courage. Jesus Christ is there. "Yes, I don't know exactly how to tell God this. I don't know exactly how to say this." Well, you don't have to be worried about how to say it. Just say it. Tell God what it is. Tell God how you're feeling. You know, it's hard sometimes to tell God how we feel. Because there's sometimes, at least for myself, I don't know. I don't know how to tell Him how I feel. I don't understand. You know, here years back, my oldest brother was killed in an accident. He was in his early 40s and had 8 children, and the 9th went on the way. I wanted to tell God a lot of mistakes He made that day. I wanted to tell God that He wasn't completely sure of what He was doing. You know, if a man was ever needed in this life, I felt that was the place he was needed, was in his family. All them little children and that poor mother that don't have that father figure, doesn't have her husband anymore to help her. You know, in those times, we don't know how to talk with God. But let's just tell God how we feel. You know, God, I don't understand why You've done this. To me, this does not look right. This doesn't look like this was the thing to do. You know, these dear young children here, and they had some, you know, teenagers struggling, you know. And you sure? Are you sure that this was the thing to do? Are you sure that this was the best thing for these young boys? Are you sure this was the best thing for these young girls? You know, those are things we face. Let's just be honest with God. Tell Him how we feel. God, I don't understand. I don't know why You've done it. But You've done it for a reason. Just show us, you know, show me why You've done this. Just help me that I can see it. Help me that I can accept why You've done it. You know, and praise God. I don't know that He's showed us why He's done it fully. But there's one thing that we've come to rest with. God called. And He never calls out of time. God called my brother home, and it was time for that. I don't know how that family made it through that hardship. I don't know how they were able to continue on, but praise God they did. I can tell you this. For a fact, it was only through Jesus Christ. Only through Jesus Christ. That's how they continued moving forward. That's how all of us did. You know, in those tragic moments of life, we see how frail life is. We see how quick it can be gone. In a matter of minutes, you're riding down the highway, happy, enjoying life. Wind blowing past your face. Pleasant. Boom, that quick. You don't know what happened. You don't know what happened, but something happened. Something happened. But I don't believe he ever knew what happened. Someone showed up on that accident right when it happened. He lived for about 15 minutes. They said the best they could tell, he was trying to ask what happened. They said they don't believe he had any pain. Said he didn't express he had any pain. but he wanted to know what happened. You know, life is serious. We're not always going to be given a notice. Life can end today. It can end tomorrow. Maybe God gives us a notice. Maybe it's a health issue or something. The point is, daily, daily, renew a spirit within you. Renew that daily. Renew that connection with God daily. You know, when we have that connection with God, then we have that hope. We have that hope. And that's how all of us can continue on through life. We have that hope. Yes, my brother's not here with us no more, but I have the hope to see him someday. You know, I have that hope that it's going to be a joyful reunion. You know, and I have that same hope for each one of us here this morning. I hope each one of us this morning are reunited in heaven. Just imagine how beautiful, how glorious that's going to be. Think about it. Let your mind go. You can't overthink this one now, so just let your mind go. Let your mind go. You can't overthink it. Imagine that reunion. That heavenly music. God Almighty on the throne. And the Son, Jesus Christ, there beside Him. And you and I get to be a part of that. Think about it. That is beautiful. That is what y'all are preparing to commemorate. Is that privilege of being able to have that connection with God. You know, praise God that He loved us enough. That He allows us that great blessing. You know, think about it. All of us, with all our friends, think about the reunion that'll be. You know how reunions are here on this earth? There's a lot of work goes into it. There's a lot of planning goes into it. You know, the family comes, and once everybody gets there, you've got a few minutes of just pleasure, everybody visiting everything, and then, well, then everybody starts trying to work it, getting back out and going back home. Then you got all that mess to clean up. Think about it now. We're going to have a reunion in heaven. Everything's going to be prepared for us when we get there, and there is going to be no mess. It's going to continue on forever and ever and ever. Have you ever thought about how long forever is? Let your mind go on forever and see what happens. I have never been able to grasp forever. I have sat there. I think at times, especially when I was younger, I don't know, it's something that just has always, since I was a child, forever, has just been a thing that I have thought about. And I remember as a child, I would sit there and think about forever for a long time. Every time I would just let go and think about forever. You know, we're going in years and thousands and millions of years and going on and on, and all of a sudden my mind would just like go twirling in circles and be out of there. I could not grasp it. It was just like, I would literally get dizzy, and then you just have to come back. I cannot grasp forever. I can't understand it. Okay, we're going to have a reunion that's going to last that long? Praise God. There ain't going to be no arguing. There ain't going to be no talking politics or nothing like that in that reunion. We're going to have one thing in mind, and that's praising God throughout eternity. How many of you here love to sing this morning? Everybody, I hope. Well, guess what? You can sing to your heart's content there. You can sing forever if you want to. That is what Christ has done for you and I. May you and I just totally let Him have full control. Just let him have our hearts. Who else knows how to handle them better than he does? Let's not allow the devil to have any foothold in our life. Let's be open and honest with God. Open ourselves up before God and just let him have what we have. All of it. We may not have much, but he can sure have what we have. You know, when God gets the little bit that we've got, he can take that little bit and make a lot out of it. He can take that little bit that each one of us has and make a lot out of it. Each one of you here this morning, you can touch so many lives. You can help so many people. If we just turn loose and let God have control. He will bring people into our lives that before was just coincidence. We met that person just going through life, and for some reason, I don't know why I met up with him there. I guess just fate put it there, and we met. We will view life as an opportunity. We'll view each new person we meet as an opportunity. You know, that's the blessing of living a life for God. You know, in Proverbs 28, verse 13, it says, "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." That's a beautiful verse. And just again, it brings that confirmation. It doesn't pay off to hide anything. What do you think about this? The times we're tempted to hide little sins and stuff like that in our lives is for why? Well, we don't want the others to hear about it. But I want to ask you a question. Who are you confessing to? Yeah, you may be saying it openly. You may be speaking audibly where everybody can hear. But the bottom line is we're confessing to God. How many sins in your life does God not know about? How many sins in your life? How many shortcomings? How many failures does God not know about? Zero. He knows about every one of them. So let's not be scared to tell him about them. God knows every mistake, every fault we make. What he's waiting for you and I to do is to recognize those and come and ask him for help. You know, in services like this, I picture God up there in heaven, looking down. I picture him up there, just, he's getting ready. He's prepared. He's focused in on you brothers and sisters this morning. He's just waiting to hear you. He's waiting to hear you. He loves you. He wants each one of you. You know how we are sometimes when we get really excited. You know, we're sitting right on, we say, you know, sitting on the edge of our seats. You know, is that what God is doing this morning? Is he just sitting there excited? He can't wait to hear from each one of you. I want to think that that is the excitement. God rejoices to hear from his children. He rejoices to hear where you struggle, where you need his help. He rejoices to hear your praise. And that's what he wants to hear this morning. So just picture that. Don't think about all of us sitting around you. There ain't none of us any better than you are. There's no one of us here this morning that's any better than you are. We're all in this battle together. Just picture God looking down. And he's just waiting. He's waiting there. He's anticipating to hear from you this morning. He wants to hear what you're facing. He wants to hear the struggles that you face. Whatever. He's there waiting to hear that. and think about the joy that you're going to bring to your Savior. Jesus Christ sitting there on the right hand of the Father. He is just as excited to hear from you. You know, you think about it. You paid the great price. Put yourself there. You have come out. You give your all. You have paid everything you have. You've given your life. You've given your life. And there you are, sitting on the right hand of the Father. You know, how much do we like when we make an investment? How many of us like for there to be a return off that investment? Do we like a return off the investments we make? Of course we do. Okay, those are just little things. You know, if we don't make a return off of an earthly investment, well, you know, we can continue on. Here we have Jesus Christ. He made a great investment in you and I. When you and I speak our hearts in honesty back to Him, that's the return that He wants for that investment. That's all He wants. He wants our hearts. He wants our all. And may we, in humility and in love, give Him that. Let's just give Him all that we've got. There's no way we can pay Him back for what He's given us. There's no way we can pay Him back for the investment that He's made into our lives. But we can do this one thing, and let's do it. Let's give Him what little bit we have. Let's give it all to Him. There will be joy in heaven. Does it say there will be joy in heaven when 100 sinners are saved? No, it says there's joy in heaven when one sinner is saved. You know, we've got a bunch of them in here this morning. We've got a whole group of sinners who are saved by the grace of God. There's going to be joy in heaven this morning. There is. As we just renew that connection, renew that zeal that we have to serve God, to live for Him, there's going to be joy in heaven. You know, it gives the pictures that the angels will be singing. I think the angels are going to be singing this morning. They're going to be praising God. You know, heaven is just so beautiful. So beautiful to think about. I want to close with 1 John. I know we read that passage earlier. Got a few verses here, 7 through 10. I love these verses. I never tire of reading them. It says, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and the word is not in us." Well, I just love the promise that is in these verses. The courage that comes from these verses. So I don't know how y'all face it, but I get discouraged sometimes. You know, the battle of life, it can be straining and very discouraging at times. But then we look back to these. We fail, we make mistakes. Or at least I do when I'm under pressure like that. And then we feel more discouraged. Let's go to these verses like this. Let's walk in the light as He is in the light. And let's confess our sins because He is faithful. It says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. You know, brothers and sisters, that is a beautiful, beautiful promise. That promise is full of hope. It's full of life. And it's full of courage. That promise is the promise that'll get us from one day to the next. It'll get us from one battle to the next in victory. Is that promise right there? When we see that we fail, when we see that we make a mistake, let's just confess it. Let's not be afraid to confess it. Let's confess it because He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And not only that, but to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Again, that cleansing, that washing of the blood of Jesus Christ. That cleansing that sets us free and gets us back up on our feet and puts us on our way again. That's the cleansing power of Jesus Christ. And that's my prayer, that each one of you here this morning can experience that cleansing power of the blood of Jesus Christ in your life. At this time, can we kneel for prayer?